We started Perigimel. Okay, so we did pasuk pasuk Beis. Let's just review pasuk Beis. Just review the pasuk. We did already the Rashi and the Targum. Let's review the pasuk just to get back into the swing of things. All of the servants in the gate of the king would bow down. Korim mishtachlim l'haman. We discussed yesterday. There are two different terms. Korea means to bow down on the knees. Mishtachavet means to bow down, to bring your head to the ground, to prostrate. Is that the correct word?
Yes.
Prostrate. Okay. Lehaman.
Ground for you.
That'll bring you to the
So did the king command. Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachaved. This was the command of the king. This is by order of the king. Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachaved. Why do you disobey the king, the command of the king?
Why didn't they arrest him immediately?
Why? Because he must have had executive privileges. He must have had executive privileges. He had a badge. Yeah. I know. There's a famous story with my great grandfather Reishov. My great grandfather Reishov, who was a member of the Polish Sejm. And he lived in very difficult times in Poland. There's virulent anti-Semitism. And once he would travel, he would often travel from where he lived to where the government was. And he once went on a train, and there was an anti-Semite there in the same cabin, and he was harassing my great grandfather. I think he was even an officer. Could be he was even a member of the police, and he was harassing him to a very great degree. And they finally arrived at the station. If you were a member of the Polish Sejm, you had a badge. It gave you power, authority. And like most of the people in the Polish Sejm, they wore their badge on their lapel on the outside. So right away you knew, you don't start up with this officer, this person. He has a badge. So he kept his badge on the inside. I don't know why. I guess he didn't want to show off. He kept it on the inside. So finally, when they reached the station, and this policeman was harassing him and told him, wait until we get until the station. They're going to arrest you, and they're going to imprison you, and we're going to punish you. So when he finally came there, he goes like this. They called over the police. This person, he called over his I don't have walkie-talkies those days, but he called his other officers in order to do whatever they wanted to do to him. And then he opened up his badge and he showed them the badge. They all got scared and they said, arrest him. Arrest him. Remove him. He turned the tables on him. So Mordechai, so you ask your question, why did Mordechai Koreo Meshtach Velo? Obviously Mordechai Yoshe Bishar HaMelech. Mordechai had privileges. And it wasn't so simple to arrest him. So he was able to at least in the meantime prevent himself from getting in trouble. So let's see the words again one more time. So they said to him, Adua Atoiver Es Mitzvah HaMelech. Let's see Rashi Pasuk Gimel. There is no Rashi. Let's see the Targum Pasuk Gimel. Vamru Avdei HaMalka Divishra Palterin. And the servants that were in the gate of the king, the palace, the Malka, the Mordechai, Ma Dein At Avar. What is this that you're doing, that you are transgressing? Yas Taf Kedta De Malka, the law of the king. Now, we know that every time it says in the Megillah, HaMelech, without HaMelech, Achashverosh alludes to the Melech Malchi Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this alludes, the Mepharshim say, this alludes to one of two things. Either they said to him that on religious grounds, you have an obligation to bow before Achashverosh, Dina de Malchus Adina. In other words, these people, they were very political. They knew how to pull all the strings. They said to there are excuses. So they came with lumdus. You know, all the lumdus answers. Don't bow down. When you bow down, don't have kavana to bow down to the idol. Have kavana to fulfill the edict of the king. They came and we have to remember that according to the opinion of the Targum we learned yesterday that that Haman did not make himself into a king. He had a statue. So they said, so don't bow down to the statue, but at least bow down to Haman. They kept on, they came to him with religious reasons. Madu atoy ve'es mitzvas ha-melech, you are transgressing the law of the melech malchei hamlochim. What's wrong? The melech malchei hamlochim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has one, he has given instructions that din the malchus adina, you're in galus, or you won't even learn. You want to learn even on a more extreme level. The very fact that the Churban Beis Hamikdash has occurred and the Jewish people have gone into exile is an indication that there's nothing any longer special about the Jewish people. I mean, this is a very popular theme that we don't appreciate this Baruch Hashem because we have survived already the Churban of two Batei Mikdashos. But this was a very great nesayin for Klal Yisrael living at the time in the aftermath of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the fact that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed and the Jewish people were exiled and there was no Jew living in Eretz Yisrael for 52 years, many people were presented with the argument that it's over. That Klal Yisrael, is the Am HaNivchar, has come to an end. This was a very nice time in history. Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Hashem did some niflos, but that's it. It's expired. And the fact that you're living in exile for the very first time and there is no Beis Hamikdash to keep you together is proof that Hashem has abandoned His people and now He has selected a new nation to take your place. And therefore, this is divine will that you should humble yourself, you, the Jewish people, you, Mordechai, who represent Klal Yisrael, the Rosh HaSanhedrin. You should now humble yourself before the new authority in this world, and therefore by not humbling yourself, you indeed are transgressing the directive of the Melech Malchei Hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jewish people have been abandoned, and all of that is alluded to here in this pasuk. Madu atoy ve'es mitzvas hamelech. It does not say the mitzvas hamelech achashverosh, but rather mitzvas hamelech malchei hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look what's going on here, Mordechai. The Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. You're in Galus, 70 years have passed, the prophecy has not come true, it's over. It's curtains for the Jew. It is the divine will that there shall be a new nation that takes your place as the Am HaNivchar. This has been the argument of the Christians throughout since Christianity came to be, which took place almost 300-400 years later from the moment that this thing came to be. The replacement. But this concept of replacement theology existed even more so at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. At the time of the Bayis Sheni, already it was proven v'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. But at the time of the Bayis Rishon, it was a shock. It was something that the people were definitely struggling with. And here, this argument is being made very concisely in this pasuk: Madua ato oiver es mitzvas hamelech malchei hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem has abandoned you. Accept it, and let's get past it. And now, humble yourself before the new authority of this world. Yeah.
How does it fit in with the ratio of the pasuk? Right.
What's the ratio of the pasuk?
Chol avdei hamelech shebashar hamelech koyim mishtach.
Yeah.
How does it fit in the pshat? Your pshat, Rabbi, is everyone standalone pshat. No?
Pasuk Gimel. Look at Pasuk Gimel. Vayom avdei hamelech. What's the Pasuk Gimel? Vayom avdei hamelech. Okay, fine. Pasuk Beis. Chol avdei hamelech shebashar hamelech koyim mishtach lahaman.
So what? They were masking.
Absolutely. They had nothing to lose. For them, it was very simple. Well, what's it for them? Chol avdei hamelech. They were goyim.
You're saying that Pasuk Gimel refers to Melech Malchei Hamlochim.
So you say, well, there does not say the Melech Malchei Hamloch. That's not a kashya. You can say Avdei Melech means even the Jewish people. Most of the Jewish people also, many of the Jewish people also fell into this trap. And the proof is they went to the Suda. Yeah, you could even say the same idea in Pasuk. Yeah, it alludes to that is a fact. That is a chazal. Every time it says in the Megillah word Hamelech, every time it says the word Hamelech in the Megillah without Achashverosh, there is a drush, there is a machshav. It's calling your attention to the Melech. Yeah. The Chol Avdei Hamelech Hashavish doesn't say told him. Pasuk Beis.
Ki chein etziva lo hamelech.
Was it general edict?
He commanded it.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed this to be. Everything that happens
tziva
in this world.
Not allowed. Tziva is a command.
Yes, Hashem commanded that this should be. Hashem. Hashem issued the command that Haman should be elevated. We discussed this yesterday, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow his people to suffer at the hands of a lowly nation. Before Hashem wants to bring a gzera upon Klal Yisrael, he first raises, our enemy. Her enemies became a head, became a leader. In order that when Hashem punishes us, it should be b'derech kovod, not b'derech b'zoyon. So yes, Haman hivchaladim Hashem kichein tzivlo hamelech. Let's darsh. Let's read this with the Jewish. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Malchei Melachim, indeed issued a gezerah in this world that the whole world should bow down before Haman in order to elevate Haman to a stature of greatness, so that when Hashem will now use Haman as an instrument to punish us, it should be in a dignified way.
So what if there's some shot that
the,
he didn't bow down to
him
because he had a
white
Zerum, right?
That's Rashi. Rashi said,
power,
Rashi said,
Ezra brings down the Medrash Rabbah. So if he didn't do it because of that, were the rest of the people either?
Possibly. Possibly. Well, the greater sin was they went to the party. They went to the Suda Sachashverosh. That was really the great party. This you can argue and say they were forced. Even though we have a principle of Yehorig Val Yavar, we all know that there are three averos a person must give up his life. Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damim, and Gilui Arayos. What happens if a person does not give up his life? Someone points a weapon at a person and says, bow down to the idol. And he bows down. Is he Chayiv Misa? Is he Chayiv Misa bowing down to the idol? Absolutely not.
Misa
b'dei shemayim and b'dei all misos, everything. Is he chayiv misa for bowing down to the idol? A person, a poem points a weapon at a person and says, bow down or I'll pull the trigger. According to the halacha, he's mechuyiv to die. He's obligated to allow himself to be killed and not bow down to the idol. He can't control himself. He's afraid. He bows down. His korei or mishtach, and he says whatever they want to say. They take him out. Is this person allowed to get a nali in the Beis HaKnesses? Can they give him shishi? Absolutely yes. Onus rachmana patre. You are under duress. You should have given up your life. That was the right thing to do. That's what you're obligated to do. But if you could not fulfill Hashem's instructions because the pachat, you were under duress because you just couldn't do it, you're not held accountable. You're not guilty for doing an avera. So maybe in a chanami, all the other people maybe there were other Jewish officers. I don't know. It doesn't say who was there, who was not there. Whenever Haman walked in the street, he had to bow down. So it says here they all did bow down. Are we to hold the people who did not bow down accountable for not bowing down? No. It's the honest Rachmana Patre. When it comes to the Suda Sachashverosh, that was already more severe. Because that they did not have to attend. That's what Chazal say.
You have the Amalek here. There were Jews who were
known. We don't know. Possibly. It's possibly. It's very feasible that there were Jews. If we know Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, who were by Nebuchadnezzar, we know today all the Jews, they hold the highest position. What?
Daniel was still alive.
Daniel Choy was active in the government.
Supposedly in another province.
He was sent away.
40 provinces in another land. They shipped him out of here. They didn't want him around.
So, but it's reasonable to assume that there were Jews in government, like there are today. They have the talent, they have the discipline, they were always the most successful, yeah?
See, that's the thing, you have to keep making more and more assumptions in order to answer these questions.
Right.
Whereas a simpler approach, forgive me for making something simpler, is that the command was, the law was, to bow to Haman as a public official. He went beyond the law and made himself into a deity.
Okay, but there is more to it. There is a deity the Mepharshim took note of, the word lo, Asher, tziva lo hamelech. If you were writing this pasuk, you would omit the word lo. If you would write the pasuk, you would say, kichein tziva hamelech. What's the word lo? The word lo is extra. Why is that word over there?
The Jews were telling him, why you're making it worse for us.
Right, that's a topic. That's
him angry.
That's the Pharisee Targum of Belial. Right, we're going to come to that. When we come to
Perik, we'll discuss it tomorrow.
But there's an emphasis. There's an emphasis. What is the word low? If the pasuk would have been written without the word low, it would be fine. It would be simpler. You would save a word. The Megillah would be cheaper. the sofer would have to write one less word. That's what the king commanded. Then why do we need the word lo? Lo has an emphasis that the king commanded, the king gave him authority. Yes, it's not just to bow down because you're a public official. Bow down because you're a deity. You're something special.
Certainly, Achashverosh. I can't see Achashverosh knowingly allowing, in the law, Haman to be a deity.
Who says? Rashi says Beferish. Look what Rashi.
That would undermine his own.
Why? There are many gods. You're a god. I'm a god. There's a god over there. God over there. We don't see. We're so far removed from the way they lived, the way they thought, their thought process in ancient times. They had many gods.
The extra word is not the same problem as it would be in the Chumash, because God didn't write the Megillah. But the reason this word is operative, because if Mordechai is talking about Mordechai, Tzivalo, it was Mordechai who wrote the Megillah.
Right. So
therefore, it takes on that meaning.
It takes on.
He knows exactly what he wrote.
Okay,
he was told, personally.
Tzivalo, it was. But you're translating the word lo mean to Mordechai.
Yeah.
No, but not necessarily is lo referring to Mordechai. Lo is referring to Haman. So did he command concerning him. Lo means concerning Haman.
Right.
Concerning Haman. To who is this edict directed? To the whole world.
Yeah.
But why the emphasis of lo? The answer is, some of the Mepharshim say, is because it wasn't just to bow down to Haman as a public official. Bow down to Haman as the individual, as the deity. Haman is something special. He has a koyach. He has some power that we average men can't touch. We don't know where.
But I think the way I would interpret the pasuk, he hates evil lo. Why in particular was Mordechai drawn in his side? Because if Mordechai would be the one to bow down, being the gadol hador that he was,
that would set the tone. That would set the tone. Absolutely.
So, he was the example.
So you want to translate the word lo means he hates. So did. There was a special law written to Mordechai. All eyes were focused on Mordechai. The law was directed, Mordechai has to bow. If Mordechai would bow, everyone would follow, would also bow. So law, you want to say, interpret to mean, so was the command directed specifically towards Mordechai. There was a special law written, everyone in the world has to bow down, and Mordechai also. The Gamacharvoyna Zohar Latov. And Mordechai also has to bow down, because Mordechai is the representative of the Jewish people in the will bow down, everyone will mamela fall in line. Okay, Mordechai lo yichrev lo yishtachven. What's going on here? So we read the target, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk dalet vayihi, it was, now there's a kivach sif. We read it vayihi, ki amram, a love yom v'yom, but it's written in the pasuk bi amram. I did not actually see any interpretation. I'm sure there is. I just didn't look hard enough to see why this is indeed a krivich. By the way, this is before we go to a halakhic issue. Generally speaking, when the kriya satara, about kriya, when he lays the Torah, you do not read what it says, the ksiv. The way it's spelled, you read the tradition, the kri, the way it's meant to be pronounced. The same is true me'ikar hadin for the Megillah. When the Baal Kari reads his pasuk me'ikar hadin, he's supposed to say vayihi ki amram elav yom v'yom, and not to repeat any words. Even though in the Megillah we repeat the two psukim, there are two expressions which we'll get to later on, which are indeed repeated. That's because there's a real doubt as to the correct girsa, as to the correct text. Here there is no doubt. We have absolutely no suffix here that the correct way that it should be spelled is with a beis, and the way it should be pronounced is with a chaf. And therefore, the correct thing for the Baal Kari to do is to read it vayihi ki amram elav yom 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 vayom v'lo yishma alehem without repetition. However, you will note that in some communities, in some shuls, the Baal Kari does say them both, and the place can take note of that, and they say a unique principle that applies exclusively to the Megillah. Bibnei chavivos haMegillah, due to the love,
affection.
The affection that the tzibur has for the Megillah, it is a custom, a unique custom for some, not all follow this custom,
right,
to even repeat the krivichsivs. Not all of them, because some of them you can't possibly do.
Time doesn't do both.
He doesn't know. But there is such a thing. I think it's more common among Hasidim. Among Hasidim, where they do this is where they repeat the Kri V'chsev. They'll never repeat a Kri V'chsev when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. That's a no-no. But Megillah has its own set of rules. Chavivos HaMegillah, you do things at the landing of the Megillah that you would not otherwise do, and this is one example of...
That's why we don't do it is the Torah has a pirish on... Zecher and Zachar by Amalek, he says, Sov Zosi Karom Basefer, Vesimbos Ne Yeshua. This is what I want you to write, but whisper it in his ear so he knows what it really says.
What it really says,
don't make it. Is it written one way in
there? Okay, I don't know the answer. I don't know. I apologize. I did not come across a reason why. The Kri V'chsev, there's always a reason. There's two messages. There's a hidden message, and then there is the public message. So the hidden message is the way it's spelled. Bi'amram, when they spoke, when they actually spoke. Ki'amram, I think let's on our own try to maybe figure out an answer. Ki'amram means indirect. Bi'amram is explicit. It was Bi'amram. They said to him explicitly, Mordechai, what in the world are you doing? Why are you provoking Haman? That's Bi'. Kir means like, not exactly. They never explicitly said the words to him, but they certainly got the message across. Like Obama, when he talks about Trump, he'll never mention his name, right? Obama recently, he responded 2-3 times to Trump's statement about preventing Muslims from entering the country. So Obama responded in an indirect way. He doesn't even want to give Trump the cover of saying his name. He wouldn't even say the Donald.
Well, that's the rule of thumb. You never mention your opponent's name. You don't want to keep...
You don't want to write. But he got the message out. I disagree. I disagree with you. It's the same idea over here. When the Pasuk says the way it's written is Bi'amram, they explicitly called him over. They called him Mordechai. Do you realize this is warning number one? This is warning number two. You are in violation of the law. Everyone is watching. That's what it says. But the way we pronounce it, Ki'amram, which means they never really explicitly warned him, but they got the message to him. They let him ki, it was like Ki'chatzos Halayla, when Moshe said to Paro that Makas Bechoros will take place midnight. He didn't say to him, Vidiyuk, exactly 12 o'clock and 0 seconds. Ki'chatzos, why? Approximately. Why approximately? Because you're astrologers, you're not going to be able to get the time. You're going to claim that Hashem is a liar because he didn't come exactly chatzos. He came 12:01, 11:59. So therefore, you approximate. So here, l'chor is the same idea. They got the message to him without saying it directly. Ki amram elav yom v'yom daily v'lo shema lehem, and he did not listen to them. Vayegidu leHaman, they told Haman leros to see hayamdu divrei Mordechai. To see would it stand the words of Mordechai, ki gilohem ashahu Yehudi. Now the pasuk here is very vague. The pasuk is a little bit confusing. In this pasuk, it is revealed to us the response. Haman, Mordechai responded. The reason why I will not bow down to Haman is because I am a Yehudi. He chose the word, even though we know that we mentioned before that he was from Binyamin, Shei Binyamin, Ish Yemini, but Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Habira, he was proud to be Jewish. Mordechai walked around the palace with his beard and payas and his strimal and his bekeshah. He was proud to be Jewish. And his statement was, being Jewish means you don't bow down to idols. You don't bow down to Esav. I will not bow down, as we mentioned yesterday, as the Targum Sheni pointed out, that we Miyaches Mordechai 20 generations, and we Miyaches Haman 20 generations. I am not going to repeat the mistake that my ancestor Yaakov Avinu made by bowing down to Esav. When he came to greet them, I am not bowing down. I am a Yehudi, I admit to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm a Hoida. I acknowledge the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow me to bow down to an idol. He was defiant. So he, it's now here's, this is an important This is an important point which we're making over here, that he's telling the reason why I'm not bowing down to Haman. It's not due to a technicality. Haman, we all know that in work you always have a worker, you always have a solution. It's Shabbos, it's Pesach, it's Yom Tov. I have vacation days. The reason why I'm not going to show up on this holiday is because I have a vacation day, or I just happen to be have an errand to run on this particular time, this particular moment, and that's why I can't attend the Christmas party, or I can't attend something which is halakhically questionable. You'll always be able to find a legal loophole, an excuse why you're not going to do something which is halakhically wrong. The pasuk here makes it very clear that Mordechai was not looking for excuses. If Mordechai wanted, some of the commentators say he could very easily just not walk down the street where Haman was, so he would not have to bow down. If Mordechai wanted, he could have come up with some diplomatic excuse, some type of legal loophole in order why he would on this occasion not need to bow down to Haman. But Mordechai went out of his way to provoke Haman, Asher Hu Yehudi. And we're going to see later on in Perek Vav, Balaila Hu Nodud Ashnasana, who's a long Targum, and the Targum there says that the Jewish people came to Mordechai and they bitterly complained that all of this is your fault. Mordechai was in a very difficult situation. They blamed him. They blamed him for these words. They blamed him, Ki Yigid Lohem Asher Hu Yehudi. These three words, Asher Hu Yehudi, the reason why, Lahashmid, Laharugu, Laabidis, Kola Yehudi, Minarvi Ad Zokain, is all your fault. Because you defiantly refused to bow down to Haman, you provoked him, and that's why the Pasuk goes on to say, Vayivis Be'enav, and he was made the Gzera to destroy the entire Jewish people. But Mordechai felt that the times demanded that he do this, Hayro Hashah, in order to atone, to take away the Kitrug of Klal Yisrael for participating in the party. In other words, Mordechai was the Rosh Sanhedrin, and what he was doing over here is definitely very controversial, because in many times in history, many of the Gedolei Yisrael tell you, don't provoke the Goyim, don't look for trouble, don't go and try to get too close for comfort with the government officials. You know, even in Lakewood, if I remember correctly, not that long ago, the Rosh Yeshiva, they were very tough. They Bedafka told the firm people not to be on the community board, like they were saying, we have in Brooklyn a community board. So the community board was reaching a point where it was dominated by firm people, and they felt that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Let just stand down. There should definitely be representatives on the community board to address our needs, but don't take it over. Don't use your power to a hostile takeover of the community board, because it's not something it's going to be an eyesore for the secular country, secular government, to see how that the Jews have such control. It's just not going to work well. And throughout history, there's always been these issues where Gedolei Yisrael have always demanded for the Jews to keep a low profile. This was a notable exception. Mordechai in Hayro HaShah, he's coming here 5 years after the horrible event, the horrible event of the Jewish people participating in the celebration of their own destruction. They all, 70 years after the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed, there's no Geula on the horizon. They're celebrating their defeat. Haman, Achashverosh, is parading, wearing the big day kahuna. He's taking out the kiln of the Beis Hamikdash. The Chil Hashem reached a proportion that was beyond off the charts. And therefore, Mordechai, as a Hayro HaShah, good morning, as a Hayro HaShah, he felt the times demanded Asher Hu Yehudi. The reason why I will bedafka, I will specifically choose to walk past in this street, to walk down this street where Haman is, even though I can avoid this street, and even though I have 10 different reasons why I can legally, or can find some legal loopholes why I do not need to bow down, I will lahachis, go in front of him, stand there, and say to him, I'm not bowing down to you because I'm a proud Jew. Asher hu Yehudi. And this was Mordechai's belief that the times demanded there should be some Jewish pride in a Goyish world, and the Jewish people needed some chizuk. Don't give up. Don't be miayish that the Beis Hamikdash has not been rebuilt after 70 years. This hope, this tikvah, it was unique. Now, obviously, it seemingly backfired, because we're going to see very, very clearly the Jewish people came to him, a delegation said to him, it's all your fault. Let's make no mistake about it. We're on the verge of genocide, and it's all your fault because of these three very words. That's another one. Maybe they never forgave him, maybe. They said, "Die." It would have been better we didn't have the tzar altogether. So you want to say,
I wanted to say also on a reaction to what you said before, that maybe Mordechai was also had privileges, maybe him being an official in the kingdom as well, he wasn't required, being another nobleman, so to speak, he personally wasn't required to bow down to Haman as opposed to all the other plebes. Could have the hoi polloi would be, but he really wasn't.
Right.
But it would be better off if he showed him some fealty. He would show that. But so he used his option not to do it.
Okay.
And then you have the Ibn Ezra's pshat.
Yeah.
Ibn Ezra asks exactly the question, why didn't he train him to stay back? According to Ibn Ezra, he's of the opinion that he could not himself. There, if he had, he would have been killed.
Okay, so he
was required to be.
He was required, right?
Why didn't downgrade his appearance or whatever antagonize
Haman?
I don't know.
But that's then you have to add this idea is that he did it lahachis because Jewish pride. The times demanded that you have pride who you are. This is a very delicate issue in Galus. How do you present yourself among the Ummah Sa'olam? Do you display your Judaism or do you hide it? This is obviously different strokes.
What we're about to say, when you're going to get that after the Gzeira, then he uses his prerogative to be still in the palace courtyard, but dressed in Bilber Sock. He's not dressed the way he should be dressed. He doesn't come into the White House looking like a slob. But he did.
Okay, there's a shocking var from the Chassam Sefer, how he reads Pashup Shad into this Pasuk, Pashup Josh. He says that when it says in the Pasuk, Vayegidu Lohamon, they said to Haman, Kigid Lohem, he said to them, Asher Hu Yehudi. Let's translate those words again. Kigid Lohem, who said to who? Mordechai said to the officials, said to the police, Asher, that who? I, Mordechai Hatzadik, I am a Yehudi. I am the Ish Yehudi back in Perek Aleph. I am the Ish Yehudi. Was it Perek Beis? Whatever it was. The Chassam says, no, that's not what it means. When they said to Mordechai, Mordechai, why don't you bow down? So he said, who should I bow down to? To him? He said, I can't bow down to him. Mordechai, Haman is a Jew. Haman is a Jew. Asher, who you? Who? He's a Jew. What? He's a Jew. He's the worst anti-Semite. He's an anticle of Hama of Esav. So the answer is a shocking thing. This goes back to the famous measure everyone quotes during the time when there was when they both Mordechai and Haman were sent by Achashverosh to battle. Each one was a general of a battalion, and Haman depleted his supplies, and he came to Mordechai and he begged him, "Can you please lend me some food?" So he said, "I'll lend you some food if you'll be my slave. You'll be my slave." So he agreed. Now, according to the Chassam Sofer, and he's basing this upon Midrashim, he became a full fledged Eved Kanani. What is an Eved Kanani? Bris Mila. Can you imagine Bris Mila? And you go into the mikvah, and you makabel mitzvahs ki'isha. So you're basically a Jew. The only thing that you don't have to do is the mitzvah seh shazman grama. And for some point in time, Haman followed the rules. Haman was Jewish. Because Haman was the slave, the Eved Kanani of Mordechai. And an Eved Kenani has bris milah, has tzilah b'mikvah, and in the kabbalas mitzvahs ki isha, you become a full-fledged Jew. He then went off the derech. Okay, he was at risk. He was a slave at risk. Okay? A slave at risk, and he indeed went off the deep end. I mean, it makes sense. The biggest anti-Semites, unfortunately, are the Jews. Okay, the self-hating Jews. Unfortunately, the self-hating Jews do a lot more damage for Klal Yisrael than the Goyim. We know that to be true. And this is really, we gave him the fuel. So he said to them, based on the Ruch HaSam Sefer, says that he summarized, he told them the whole story. I'm going to bow down, he's my slave. What, are you kidding? He's my slave. He's a Jewish, I'm Jewish, he's even a Jewish slave. Not only is he my slave, he's also a Jew. You think over here that he's the big anti-Semite. He's Jewish. He has Jewish blood. I'm not going to go bow down to him. Asher ki yigid lohem, so again, one moment, yigid lohem, they told him, he revealed to them, to the entire world, Asher hu Yehudi, he gave out the secret, Haman, you're Jewish. You're Jewish. And obviously that changes, they know that changes the whole
Should have said Asher
Ani. No, Asher hu, that Haman. Haman. Adaram. Ani Yehudi. Asher hu. That changes the dynamics of the whole event. Can you imagine, you have this in the news all the time, where all of a sudden they discover a celebrity, a big celebrity in Hollywood, discovers that they're Jewish. You told me a story even like this. Well, they had on television, they went, the miyachis, the person, they revealed to a person in front of, you know, you're Jewish.
Right.
I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
I'm Jewish. You have this all the time, and these celebrities, they are very shaken up. How do I deal with this? I'm Jewish, but my whole life I looked at Jews, I looked down at Jews.
No, that's the woman. She said, "You mean I'm not Jewish?" He said, "No, dearie, you're a Jew."
You're a Jew. So this now changes. Can you imagine in the newspaper? Okay, we're missing the flavor of the times. The issue of the day, the davar that divided the Malchus, was to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash or not to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Koresh, he said, Jews, let them have their Beis HaMikdash. It passed Obamacare. Televised, the whole world is watching. Comes into power, Achashverosh, buddy with Haman. Haman has 10 sons. They go to Eretz Yisrael. They go and they see what's going on. They write a report, a commission, a report. V'chulu, v'chulu. You can take all these terms in modern terms today. You can imagine how this would play out. They come back and they present their findings in the report, and they advise that they should issue a stay. The construction of the Beis HaMikdash should come to a halt. And let's wait. And who's behind this whole plan? Haman. So the whole world is cheering for Haman. Haman, the guy, finally he overcame the Jews. And then the news breaks. Breaking news. We're sorry to interrupt your regular scheduled program to tell you, guess what? Breaking news. Haman is Jewish.
But not the kids.
Haman is Jewish. Can you imagine the shock? That's a very big issue. Could you imagine the shock? The shock of the world seeing this person who succeeded in overturning the issue of the day, and has shown this is something. This was a shocking revelation, and it put everyone, it threw everyone off guard. Okay, it's like a novel, a cliffhanger. Like what? The end of the chapter. This is like the shocking. Everything now changes, and indeed, you have to go further with this idea in the Megillah and see how indeed this changed the dynamics of what was going forward at this point in time. This is Chassam Sofer. Okay, Imam is Chassam Sofer. This is how we do Shah in the Pasuk. Now, there's another in the Sarasi Bamedinos. He says a drush. This is a drush. It's not a pshat, but it's an interesting idea. And he's drawing from a medrash in Megillas Eicha. The Sarasi Bamedinos. He went through Eicha. We'll come out the whole Eicha with the Sarasi Bamedinos. So what's the medrash in Megillas Eicha? It goes as follows: there were two women that were fighting with each other, and they were very close. And then there was a fallout. Something happened. One thing led to the other. And it got to a certain point where one woman, she publicly insulted her friend, and she said to her in public, "You're a ganef. You're a rasha. You're a mamzer. You're a." She just let her have it. She hung up all the dirty laundry for the whole world to see. Okay, she publicized Mavaza, her friend, to the and part of the Bezienna, she said, "You're also probably also a dirty Jew." She wasn't a Jew, but it's, calling someone a Jew is like calling someone a mamzer. After you pile on all of the insults and you hang up their dirty the laundry, you're a dirty Jew. Came time, a couple of months later, they got back together. They decided they needed each other and they appeased one another. And this woman went to her friend and she was a mafia, so she bought her a present and she tried to pacify her for all of the nasty things that she did in the past. And the woman said, "You know something? I forgive you. I forgive you for everything you've done to me, but there's just one thing, I'll never forgive you for. I'll forgive you for calling me a mamzer. I'll forgive you for publicizing all of my averis online. But for calling me a dirty Jew, then I'll never forgive you." That insult is so low that I can never forgive. The Medrash illustrates the degree of how low, how much the Jewish people suffered at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. They were viewed in such low esteem. It's hard for us to imagine such thing. The Medrash is trying to bring out that point of part of the tzara of the Churban. It wasn't just that Jewish blood was free. Jewish blood meant nothing. It's a Jew was not, it was subhuman. And to illustrate is this story where two friends can be at each other's throats and they can mimifies each other and the woman can say, "I forgive you for everything you've done, but I'll never forgive you for calling me a Jew. This, I'll never forgive you." So the Sarasi Bamedinos brilliantly, I don't know if it's his idea or he's telling this from somewhere else, he says, that's also al derech drush what it means. What it means over here with the Chasam Sofer. Mordechai said to Haman, "You're Jewish. You're also Jewish." It wasn't just that. It wasn't just...
That's what got him upset.
Right. It wasn't just that Mordechai made this revelation that you're Jewish, you're my slave, and the master does not bow down to his slave. The fact that he revealed that Haman in law is Jewish was the biggest insult. It's not just
dirty Jew.
Exactly. It wasn't just that Mordechai said, "Guess what? He's Jewish, and look, he's trying to stop the Beis HaMikdash. He's Jewish. I'm his master, and master does not bow down to a slave." It's more than that. It's the personal insult of being called a dirty Jew. So the whole world, wow! Can you imagine today if the President of the United States walks in and you would say something insulting? Okay, you can think of all the nasty things you can possibly say. But there are certain things that you would say, use your imagination, where you've crossed the line. Right? And you cross the line and that's it. You're done. You're done. They're going to get to you. You're done. Mordechai, by calling Haman, "You're also Jewish. You're also Jewish." He crossed the line. So the only thing, so the whole world, like, "Oh, he called Haman a Jew? Oh, what's going to happen now?" Now is going to be the big test, the response. What's going to happen now? Maybe Haman will forgive Mordechai for not bowing down. Possible. And Mordechai is the Mishnah Lamelech. He's a Yeshiva Shah Melech. But Haman will never forgive Mordechai for calling him a Jew. So they wanted to see, the whole world was watching to see, they couldn't care less about the fact that Mordechai did not bow down. That was who cares? Bow down, not bow down. He says, it was a show. The whole world was watching. They're watching Hayamdu Divrei Mordechai. Will Mordechai get away with the insult? The insult, ki higid lohem, because what did Mordechai say to the people? "I'm going to bow down to the dirty Jew? I'm going to bow down to the Kigilim Asherhu Yehudi," that Haman is a Yehudi. Okay, I thought that was a very shocking idea, very unique approach to translate. Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't accept that who Yehudi is, Haman is, because the Shakla Vitaria, I am the Yagidu Lama. In other words, he had obviously a discourse with some other people.
It was a conversation taking place here.
Conversation involved regarding why he is not bound down, because he has the Savoy Dazara. So they told Haman, supposedly, that let's see if it's a religious factor. If it's a religious factor, then Mordechai justified in that Korah Mishtachav. But they suggested to Haman to remove the Avodah Zarah and then test him to see if he will, because then it has nothing to do
with it. It's not religious.
In other words, it's a personality.
It's a personal...
The conflict.
Right. Jewish pride. Like we said, Esav versus Yaakov. Yaakov will not humble himself in front of Esav. Not because of religion. It's who's the Bechor. The question over here is, who is the firstborn? We're going back to the fundamentals. Who is the Yoresh of Yitzchak? Who is the Yoresh? Is it Esav? Is it Yaakov? Esav, Haman is the representative of Esav. I am the Yoresh. Yaakov, I will not bow before you. I'm the Bechor. You sold the Bechor to me. I will not humble it. Forget about religion. Forget about Avodah Zarah. I will not bow before my brother Esav. Okay, let's see the Rashi and the Targum on these. This pasuk. Pasuk up to pasuk Dalit. Hayandu divrei Mordechai ha'omer shelo yishtachave olamis. Okay, so what was the statement? The statement was, I will never ever bow down to this person, ki hu Yehudi, because he's referring to himself, or he said about himself that he's a Jew. The huzar al avodas elilim. Rashi is lishi tosoi. Rashi previously said that Haman made himself into an idol. It wasn't just that Haman went and he put around his neck the image of an idol. It wasn't just that Haman carried with him a statue of an idol. Rashi learns, not like the Targum, that Haman made himself into a deity, and therefore Mordechai said, I cannot bow down in front of an idol because I'm a Jew, and a Jew does not bow down to an idol. Let's see the Targum. Pasuk Dalit, v'ha'va b'malo luson livosei yoma v'yoma. It was when they had engaged Mordechai in discussion, in debate daily. Why don't you bow down before Haman? V'lo kabel minhon. He refused to accept their arguments. V'chaviu l'Haman. It was spoken. It was spoken to Haman l'mechazei that he should go out and see. Look carefully. No, because I guess when Haman would walk in the street, there were so many people bowing down, it was hard to take note of the single Jew among the group. To see hayiskaimun piskamei Mordechai, the words of Mordechai, kol kavel piskamei de Haman, against this conflict of words between the command of Haman and Mordechai. Arum chavei lohon di lohaman, to show Haman that lo havis sogid, he would not bow down, al dahava avdei, because, so here the Targum is going back to what he taught us in the previous psukim, because he is my slave. Haman is my slave, he sold himself to me as a slave. The izdabein le bitumas lechem, he was sold to me for a loaf of bread in a basket. Ule andaruoto di hekim bahadei, and furthermore he would not bow down to Haman because of the idol that he carried with him. Lo havi gochin al dahava yehudi, he is a Jew, vi yehudoei loy palchin v'lo gochanin le, and Jews do not bow down in any form, not bikorea and not mishtachaveh, to an idol. Okay, let's go down to pasuk chay.
Do you want to mention the parallels? A number of the portions use this as the pickoff point of pointing out the parallels between the story of Yosef and the story of Esther and Mordechai. Starting with, and there are many parallels, but by Yehi, Vayom Ered Yom Vayom. And the parallel there is to Eshes Potiphar.
She came to. Okay, I'm not familiar with this marriage. I didn't see this marriage. Yeah. Okay.
Because she says, "By he kedabra el Yosef
yom yom v'loishma aleha."
Right. Okay. And if you really look through both the narrative and the terminology used, you can come up with at least like 20 different parallels there. The ring, he presents his ring to Mordechai later on, and just as Paro passed on his
Tabas, Chosam.
There are many, many parallels. And he gets a parade. Mordechai gets a parade. And so on. So there are many, many parallels.
Clothing. The five different pieces of clothing, articles of clothing, which Mordechai had at the end, corresponding to the five changes of clothing which Yosef gave Binyamin.
Right. I'm saying, if you look closely at the...
So this is a very important parallel. Okay.
He has been laying...
Hopefully at some point in time we'll come to this.
This is considered one of the...
This is a critical point, v'yom v'yom.
this reason is because Mordechai is an Ishimini. He's a descendant of Binyamin. Of Binyamin. He comes from the same line that Yosef does. And therefore, you have these parallels there.
Okay, Yiratz Hashem will believe that this is a big topic, the parallels, and further this topic also touches upon the coincidence that we relayed all of these stories during Hanukkah. During the Tukuf of Hanukkah and Purim are very different miracles. They capture very different ideas, and yet it's very bizarre that we focus on all of the psukim, the Purim psukim, during the time of Hanukkah. This whole story of Vahi Gdabril of Yom Yom, Vahi Ki Hayom Hazeh, that is exactly what you just said, is laying during Hanukkah. So isn't it strange that Hanukkah, the psukim in the Torah that parallel the psukim in the Megillah, are being laid during the time of the year when we commemorate the Hanukkah miracle? Okay, so this is an idea. I actually have a whole sefer just on this. It's an old sefer just on this topic of the parallels, like you said, and the significance of why it's read during Hanukkah. So believe that at some point in time we'll come back to this very important idea. Correct. Okay, let's go further. Pasik, hey, vayar haman haman soki in Mordechai korea umishtacha velo vayimole haman chema. Haman was filled with fury. Now, why was Haman so angry? So there is no Rashi. Let's see the Targum. The Targum says, "V'hazo Haman arum les Mordechai gichin le'an derato." He did not bow down to the idol. V'lo havis segid lei. Did not bow down to him. V'ismalei Haman alavei. The Mordechai rischa. He was filled with anger. Now the most satisfying word that I saw to explain why he was so angry was because what it says back in the previous pasuk. It's really alluding back to a grammatical observation back in Pasuk. Where is the Pasuk? Let's go back to Pasuk base. Some of the commentators, they ask, why is it written Beloshon Osit? That would seemingly be the correct way to conclude the pasuk, to make it parallel to the word korim umishtachavim, that Mordechai refused in the past tense, or in the present tense, Mordechai refused to bow before. Why does the pasuk go out of its way and say lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh? So the answer is that's exactly the point. That's exactly what got Haman angry, when he saw that there was no hope. It's one thing when you have a person who's stubborn. What?
Maybe Mordechai said that. I'm not bowing down.
Never.
I'm never bowing.
Never. And it's not just never. It's the way. It's like a certain way you carry yourself. We all know that in the workplace or when you deal with people, there are stubborn people. Right? Isn't that the way the world goes around? We are always stubborn people. But we fool ourselves. Okay, today the person is having a bad day. He's stubborn. Eventually he will come around. I think more or less 95% of our relationships with people, when they don't seem to see things eye to eye, we tolerate them because we have faith, or we delude ourselves that, okay, not today. Things will get better. Things will get better. We'll just give it some time, everything will work, reconciliation, and you'll come around to see things my way. That's human nature. Mordechai carried himself and presented his insubordination in such a way that it was clear, lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh, not now and never. Never ever in this world will I bow down in front of you. That is something that really, really wakes up a person. That is something which really can provoke a person when you see that there's no future. There's no future for you here, and they're going for a job. You always think, you know, there's a promotion. One day, you know, you're here, you go to the system, you get a promotion. Somehow, some way, I'll make it. But when they let you know in the very beginning, you will never succeed here. Never. You quit. That's it, I'm out. I'm not interested in staying around. You want to treat me like this? You want to say there's no future? That is something which touches the innermost cord of a human being. When you know there's no future, there's a law. Bow down. There's one Jew. Lo yichav lo yishtachav, and that explains the human nature. Al derech hateva. Forget about anything religious. That explains why Vayimole Haman Chamoi Ichemo. He was filled with fury. Pasuk Vav.
See, this one guy's getting away with it.
Well, okay, that's another idea. Okay, I didn't see that idea. That's another idea. You're saying another nice idea in a chanami. Okay, you're right. That's a new idea. It's contagious. Is that his defiance will be contagious? Other people will begin to take note and learn from him in a chanami. It's a different idea, but on a very similar level. Even if it's not contagious, the fact that you will never ever bow down is enough to provoke me in order to now figure out a solution to get rid of you. So, what does he so decide to do? Pasuk vavayivis vayivis. Yeah?
I want to take a couple of steps back. There was a measure that you told us about that Haman was a general.
Yes. Mordechai was a general.
Now, they're both on the same side. Didn't Mordechai take advantage of Haman? You're both on the same side. He made him pay a very high price. Now, what can we learn from that? Was Mordechai wrong in taking advantage of a guy?
I'm not aware that Chazal criticized Mordechai for this.
He's on the category.
There is obviously a lot more information that we do not have available, and maybe it was.
To write,
we don't know. It doesn't. We don't find him being criticized for this.
It's
so
almost like the Yaakov and Esau situation, mm-hmm. where he takes advantage to himself is the Chobra, there's a certain similarity to that.
Okay, so I don't know the answer. We need to study that medrash in more detail to see what the conditions were. Pasuk Vav, Vayivez b'einav l'shlochya b'mordechai levado ki yigid lo yasam Mordechai. It was low in his eyes to send forth his hand, meaning to punish Mordechai alone. Ki yigid lo, because it was told to him esam Mordechai. It was told to him that he's a Jew, the nation of Mordechai. Vayivakei shamon l'hashminis kol ha'yehudim asher b'chol malchus achashverosh am Mordechai. Okay, so there's a long pasuk, obviously. And the main focus of the commentators is the stages. Hatred. First, it started with the individual. Vayivez be'enav l'shlochel b'mordechai levado. He really would have liked just to kill, to execute Mordechai alone. But then the hatred overflowed. It overflowed to what's next. Ki higidilo, he was told to him as am Mordechai. It's not just Mordechai, it's the nation, it's the people. Now the am means the nation, which means a whole Klal Yisrael. But if you want to punish the nation, doesn't mean you have to punish every single child, every single living creature. Vayivakesh Haman, then the hatred overflowed even a step further. Lahashmid es kol hayehudim. It's one thing to pass sanctions. Okay, you don't like Mordechai. Okay, he's a Jew. I want to kill him. Okay, I can't. Not only do I want to kill him, I don't like his nation. So you know what? Let's go. He comes from Israel. Let's pass sanctions and let's isolate the country. We'll isolate the state of Israel. But Jews living in America, Jews living in Australia, Jews living in Europe, okay, let them live. It's enough. My hatred will be satisfied. It will be satiated by just punishing this individual plus the nation that he comes from, which means the country that he comes from. But to go seek out every Jew living in every corner of the world, is my hatred so great and it will not be satisfied until that's also been fulfilled? Not necessarily. Haman's degree of wickedness went further to the point, Lahashmid es kol hayehudim, every single living Jew, not just the nation, not just to direct his fury against the ghettos and the isolated locations where pockets of Jews live, but to seek out every living Jew in the world as kol hayehudim asher b'chol malchus achashverosh, which meant the entire world. Am Mordechai, if you're a Jew, you are slated, you are a wanted man. And this is what Hitler was, Yimach Shemar. Hitler wasn't satisfied with Europe. Hitler wanted to come to America. Hitler, that was his grand plan, to come to America. I mean, I always tell you about this neighbor I had. He passed away. He always would say that the Jews in America are survivors. Not the shot that they were not involved in the war. Hitler, in Hitler's eyes, you were a marked man. You're living in America during World War II? You were in his crossfire. He got lucky. Hitler didn't make it over the Atlantic. But every Jew in America should view himself as a survivor, just like the people who actually were sent to concentration camps. People that were involved in the war are survivors. Even in America, you're a survivor, because here you see this Kol Yehudim. Okay, let's see what.
You know that the Jews had a contention that he was provoking.
Yes.
Now, if Mordechai wrote the Megillah,
yes,
admitting that.
Is admitting it, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Rabbi,
honesty, yeah.
The pasuk that you just read, why does the last two words necessary, Am Mordechai? It's an understood thing. In other words, the pasuk could have been, Hashem b'chol malchus achashverosh, period.
I don't know the answer.
Said it's a decent point, but maybe because the type of person that Mordechai was, not just being a Jew, but the type of Jew that Mordechai
the
was.
The type, the religious Jew? The observant Jew?
I'm Mordechai. This was my... I mean, I'm just fishing for what he just said.
Okay, I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know. It doesn't.
It's a good question. I don't know the answer. There are more questions than there are answers.
Earlier in the pasuk, it says, I'm Mordechai.
Okay, let's see. Let's finish. Let's see the Rashi. Let's see. There is no Rashi. Let's see the Targum. Okay, the Targum Pasuk Vav says Vahava Choch Kodomo. Choch means it was a joke. Choch is an important word which we're trained by Yivis. It was low in his eyes. Haman was very concerned for public opinion, just like today. Everything a politician does today, it's on YouTube, it's on the news, there's a record, you can't escape from, you can't hide anything. Haman had ambitions, obviously, to be king. Haman had ambitions to go even further. So if Haman would go and would kill the innocent bystander, someone doesn't go and stand up for him, even though Mordechai was a very distinguished person, but people will say, look at this, Meshuggah, the Haman, the egomaniac, one guy has to kill him. So it was not in his best interest just to kill Mordechai directly. He had to come up with a more elaborate plot. And the more elaborate plot was to kill all the Jews. Genocide. The perfect, we have to cleanse society to produce the perfect person. And we have to remove all of the Jews. That's what the Targum says. V'havachach kodamo le'oshato yodo l'miktol yos Mordechai bil chodo. He alone. Arum, because chavi'u le'd Mordechai osim in Yaakov. They reveal to him that Mordechai comes from Yaakov. So here the Targum says something very important, that Am Mordechai, he's substituting the word Am Mordechai with Yaakov Avinu. D'shakal min esav abad avuei d'homon yos bil Bechurta. We're going back to the Bechurta, that he is a descendant of the person that took away from my ancestor the rights of the firstborn. The Yos Birchasa. What else? What other grievance do I have against Mordechai, his nation? He took the Berachos, the Birchas Yitzchak. He disguised himself and took away my Berachos. Vihudoei Inun Amod Mordechai, and the Jews are the nation of Mordechai. Uva'ah Haman, therefore, Haman therefore wanted lishet sa'ah yos kol Yehudoi. He wanted to destroy all of the Jews. Dibucha Malchus Malchivos Achashverosh Amo. The nation, the Mordechai. Now, where did the Targum get this? This is an easy one. Many times the Targum says something we're totally baffled. We have really no clue where the Targum drew this information and why he injected it into a pasuk. But here it's easy as pie. Because the Bukhari began when Haman came back from the field to Oyef. Haliteni na min ha'adayim ha'adayim azek yoyef anochi. And Yaakov, and then Yaakov said, "Tell me the first, the right of the firstborn." And the pasuk says, "Vayivez be'enof." It says in the pasuk, "What's the pasuk?"
Vayivez
Esav es habachora. He sold the rights of the firstborn, and the pasuk testifies. Rashi testifies, "Vayivez be'enof."
By the Megillah, it's by Yivez
Esav. And the Pasuk, it's
Yivez Esav
es HaBukhara. By Yivez Esav es HaBukhara. And the fact that Medrash takes the words by Yivez Esav es HaBukhara makes a Gezerah Shava. It says with by Yivez there, and it says with by Yivez over here. It's trying, Mordechai, who wrote the Megillah, is trying to draw our attention that when Haman despised Mordechai, it wasn't just from today. This awakened in him, in his blood, this hatred, halacha biyodeinu, Esav sona Yaakov, it awakened in him blood that goes back 20 generations. 20 generations ago, it was me versus him. Targum Sheni, 20 generations ago, he went and he took away, he tricked me, he took advantage of my vulnerability. I came back in from the field and I was tired, and he took advantage of me, and he went and he purchased my rights of the firstborn. And then, the next thing he did, one thing led to the next, he then stole from me the brachos of Yitzchak Avinu. It was all related. It all started by Yivez Esav es HaBechoira Nachamol by Yivez Be'enav L'shlochim Mordechai Levado. That's the trigger to realize the hatred is much, much deeper than what is today. And that's a very powerful lesson in life. And every time you see two people fighting, they're fighting with each other, there's usually a lot more behind the hatred than meets the eye. They're fighting over a few dollars, they're fighting over some narishkeit, it's a lot more than that. They have a history. These two people have a history, and the blood is coming, is bubbling from even from previous generations. It's coming back.
They give an explanation. I mean, at least so, I think the Malkin, but maybe somebody else, I don't remember, why Vayivez Esav es HaBechoira, because he said, let's deal with let's die. He's coming back to tell him that he killed Nimrod and threw you into the kitchen age.
And they told him Avraham died.
Now Avraham died.
Avraham died.
He didn't get to live to see
revenge.
His enemy,
nemesis.
Was he didn't get to know it before he died. So forget about it. No one's running the world.
He was the less than of a less dying. So that here is, I guess, as well. Also less than, he can get away with it. You can say the same idea over here is less than, he's able now to get away by killing out Mordechai, the three different madregos. It's the hatred spilled over three different levels. Okay, we'll stop over here. I have two handouts. Two fresh new handouts. No, I forgot the mic. I forgot the tape recorder. I need to take this with me. Do you have a tape recorder by any chance?
I made the mistake of telling my wife that I'm doing it.